Well, welcome back tonight, and we want to just talk about a subject that kind of piggybacks off this morning, and it's, as you can see, we're going to talk about the apostasy. And the reason I want to do that is because we talked this morning about how there's one church in the beginning, and it's turned into, well, 33,000. So the question is, how did that happen? And more importantly for tonight, should you be surprised? And all I want to show you tonight is that it was always predicted and promised that people would fall away from the faith. There's various reasons for that, and we'll just examine a few. But if God always knew it, that it was going to happen, and he forewarned that it would happen, then we shouldn't be surprised. So we're going to look at five passages that talk about it. So again, I just ask you to open your Bibles to each one. The first one we'll look at is in 1 Timothy, just to introduce it, and we'll come back to it in detail. But it's this could be more of an educational class, but in it, I want you to ask yourself, where could I fall prey to the things that's being talked about? Because each of these passages that we're going to look at, for people to fall away, people had to follow with them. And that's what we want to see. Am I going to be the kind of person that does that? But 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Spirit says explicitly. Isn't that an interesting way to start? In other words, you can write it down that in the later times, some are going to fall away from the faith. Now, when it says fall away from the faith, it says because they're going to pay attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Why would anyone listen to a demon? Well, of course, they don't present themselves as a demon. Anytime someone's led astray, initially they think, well, this is a great idea, and off they go. And so just quickly, I want you to consider there's always been departures from God's faith. Isn't that? You look in politics. Do sometimes we go way to the left? And when we say left, what are we saying? Liberal, all right? And then we swing over to the right, and what that would be?
Conservative.
All right, so Brexit, that's when they England broke off from the economic union. Is that to the right or the left? That'd be the right. You know, they said, you know, we've had enough of this, and they're going conservative for a while. But then another time, you'll see we'll move to the left, and there'll be more liberal approaches. And all politics goes that way, all right? Well, it was true with the nation of Israel. It was so bad that in Hezekiah's day, Josiah's day, they had lost the law altogether. Can you imagine trying to follow God's law and you don't even have it? And when they found it cleaning out the temple, they read it and they cried. Just couldn't believe it. You know, we haven't been doing God's word. Can you fix that? I don't know what it is. It's not me. I'm not doing anything.
You're
breathing. I'm sorry. I apologize. Our technology is great. If you notice, some of our videos that we upload, you know, the sermons, people are watching it. So it's good to, sometimes we have to work it out. So Josiah, again, they lost it. Well, we're going to see that Paul's saying it's going to happen with the church. Here at Christ Church, and there was just one, and you have the gospel being preached, the truth of the faith, and he says there's going to be a falling away. Now, do you think the falling is going to happen gradually over time, or it's just like a huge quick departure? It's always gradually. One person takes one step, and then the next person comes along and takes the next step. And then someone else takes the next step, but each person is taking what? One little step, and they're just moving. Hey, we're not falling away. We're just progressing. But pretty soon, after 16 steps, aren't they a long ways away from the truth? Then it kind of catapults itself, and it just goes crazy, and then they slide very quickly. Well, it was promised, and here are the passage we'll look at. The first one is 1 Timothy 4, as I mentioned, and that's where you are right now. Then we'll look at Paul's message to the elders in Acts chapter 20. He's going to have some real interesting comments about Satan appearing as an angel of light. 2 Thessalonians 2, we could spend the whole hour there, but we'll just briefly look at the apostasy that it talks about there, and then we'll finish with people that won't have itching ears, all right? So, 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's go back to what he says there. Notice he says, the Spirit says this is going to happen. There'll be a falling away from the faith because people listen to these deceitful spirits and the doctrines of demons. As we mentioned, why would anyone listen to those individuals if they had a choice? Well, again, they don't appear as a demon. But we'll see in the next part, in verse 2, it's going to happen by the means of the hypocrisy of liars. So are we talking about angels, demons, or men? These are men. They're liars. They've lied. They've seared their conscience as with a branding iron. Now, here's the danger. When you tell one lie, the second lie easier to tell. Then when you tell two lies, the third lie is even easier. Because we all have a conscience, and that conscience doesn't tell you what is right or wrong. Your conscience tells you if you're doing what you think is right or wrong. So if you believe lying is wrong and you tell a lie, does your conscience, you say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But you get out of trouble and you kind of escape some accountability. So the next time you're caught in a trap, you lie again to get out. Does it hurt as bad as the first time? No, because a little bit of your conscience has been seared. When you sear a cow by branding it, it calluses over and it feels no pain where it was branded, correct? Your conscience can be so calloused as you continually defile it, you get to the point you can lie and it won't bother you a bit. In fact, you can lie and smile about it. Look at someone and they think you're being honest is all get out. It's like me saying to Dane, you really are a good looking kid. Because he knows I'm lying to him, right? You know, but isn't that terrible? Someone looks at you and talks to you as though they're telling the truth, but they're lying through their teeth and you don't know? See, they have, these people are tools for Satan to use. So he's not going to talk to you directly. He's going to send someone. And they're going to lie to you because their conscience is so seared. Now, here's some of the things they're going to do. They're going to start forbidding marriage. They're going to start saying you couldn't eat certain foods. Is this a move to the left or to the right? To the right. This is starting to regulate perhaps dietary laws like the Jews did. Certain foods were unclean. Certain people aren't going to marry. So they're trying to control your life. And pretty soon, if this was Jewish influence, pretty soon they're going to be keeping the Sabbath day again. They're going to be circumcising Gentiles in order to be saved. They're going to be following the whole law. Have they fallen from the faith? Yeah, Paul says you've severed yourself from Christ. If you go that route, you've fallen from grace. Now, here's our warning. Can I become caught up in this myself? Because what we need is stricter laws because the nation's running amok. Is that true? Well, once you start controlling people's behaviors from the outside, you say, well, that's a good conservative step. But no, that's not the way you control people, is it? How does Jesus control your behavior? By transforming your heart so you choose to follow him. And it seems a quick and easy solution, but it never works. It moves into, well, you know, in some type of legalism. So there's the problem. Now, I want you to see the solution in each of these. Look in verse 6. Paul's telling Timothy, who's at Ephesus, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you're going to be a good servant of Christ Jesus. Constantly nourished on the words of faith and of sound doctrine. So what's the solution to keep this from happening? Point it out. Warn people. and keep nourishing them on the words of sound doctrine. See, all we can do is keep this generation from apostatizing. Now, we didn't even talk about apostatize. What does that mean? The word itself means to stand off, to withdraw. Here's the faith going along, and you're taking a step apart from it. Then someone else takes another step, and pretty soon the faith continues, doesn't it? Because Christ's church will never be destroyed. But all of a sudden, you've taken a stand against it way over here. And you still think you're following Christ. That's the scariest part. So there are trials from without, but all these apostasies we're going to look at start from within. They start from within the church. That's scary, so we have to think about ourselves, make sure we don't get caught up in this. So that being said, look at Acts chapter 28, or 20, and verse 28. Because here Paul is writing, or talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, and that's where Timothy's at, when he wrote 1 Timothy chapter 4, and saying there will be a falling away. But here Paul is coming through Asia on his way to Jerusalem. He calls for the Ephesians elder to meet him at the coast at Miletus. And we'll just read in verse 28 where he gives them the warning. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, that would be the church, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. They're overseers or elders over the church. And he says, to shepherd, that means to pastor, the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. So there's the charge. Well, why? Why, Paul? Why are you so urgent about this? Because I know that after my departure, now I don't know if that means when he leaves them or when he leaves this earth, but it's going to happen pretty soon. It's imminent. And what's imminent? After my departure, he says, savage wolves will come in among you and they're not going to spare the flock. So there are going to be false teachers. They're going to come in among the church and they're going to destroy people's faith. So they fall away. Well, why would anyone do that? This is even where it's scarier. Verse 30. And from among your own selves. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the eldership. And so he's saying from among the elders, men will arise speaking perverse things that's twisted or distorted with all the attempt to draw away the disciples after them. Now, why would people do that? They're power hungry because they just want the leadership. Maybe it's a move to the left because they think, you know, we ought to just be more loving or kind. I don't know what it is. But here we have the individuals, and it says they're going to distort or turn aside the teaching of Christ. And their whole attention is to draw people. That word is to tear. There's no why. It's tear away and tear you away from the truth. Why would they do that? They're really not following Christ, are they? Now, it's scary because this comes from the leadership. It comes from the elders. So how do we watch out for our eldership? I'm not saying we always have to be on guard. Not that we have a problem here, but we all have to be vigilant because it happened there. It could happen here, couldn't it? And so he says some of the words. They're savage wolves. It comes from within. Verse things. And they're going to draw people away. Well, here's the solution. Verse 32. Now I commend you to the God and to the word of his grace. See what the solution is? It's the same thing. It's God's word. Just stick to his word. Keep on keeping on with the word. Don't listen to these other men that are teaching these perverse things. I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. It's the word. It's the solution. All right, so there is the church at Ephesus. Now, let's look at the Corinthian church and what Paul says to them. This one, I have lots of questions, and I have very few answers except for what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 13. Paul is constantly having to defend his apostleship. There's a couple reasons, because was he one of the original 12?
No.
And he wasn't selected to even replace Matthias, but he was chosen by Jesus much later on the road to Damascus. Jesus appeared to him, so he's an eyewitness, and he became an apostle. But a lot of people would say, no, you're not apostle. You weren't one of the 12. So he's always defending his apostleship. And probably the other reason is because he used to be a persecutor of the church. But here he says in verse 13, there are men, such men that come along are false apostles. They're deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of God. The word disguise there means to masquerade. I think we're going to get a lot of kids doing that tomorrow night. Isn't there something happening Tuesday night? Oh, you guys know about it because you're dressing up, right? That's Halloween. People dress up. They masquerade as something they're not, being a part. And that's what he said exactly. They disguise or masquerade as though they're apostles of Christ. Is that kind of bold? Every now and then you'll run across someone. Someone told me just last week, someone, and the guy was claiming, I am an apostle of Christ today. And so I have authority over you. I've had individuals do that. And they said, are you the evangelist here? I said, well, yeah, I'm a preacher here. And he says, well, I'm a prophet and apostle of God, so I trump you. I go, excuse me? I didn't know we were in competition. But he actually claimed to be a prophet and apostle of God and that I had to submit to him. You think that? No, you know, and it's they're going to speak by their own inspiration. It happened then, it happens today, and a lot of people follow. When we were in Zimbabwe, we have there's a religious group that it's quasi-Christianity with a lot of tribal religion, but they have apostles that lead their group, and it's so divided. When you go down the road on Sunday, there's these people dressed in white robes all over, meeting, following their apostle. There might be 50, and there might be 500, but they all have apostles lead them, self-proclaimed apostles. Well, he says, don't be surprised. No wonder. For even Satan disguises, that means puts on a costume, masquerades as an angel of light. Now, is he saying that hypothetically? Is he saying that figuratively just to make a point? Like Jesus said, if you had faith of a mustard seed, you could cast a mountain into the sea. Is he saying it that way? Or is he saying it as a matter of fact? So I got questions. I don't have answers. Does that still happen today? He says, don't be surprised. Satan does that. He disguises himself as an angel of light. So we talked about that in Bible class this morning. If people claim to see an angel and they're teaching something different, Paul said what? Let him be a curse. It's not from God. It's from Satan. Now, how does an angel of light appear? With demons, horns, and stuff like that? No, it's a beautiful angel. And so it'd be very seductive to have an angel appear to you and say, you're the honored one to receive this new truth. So he says, if Satan does that, it's not surprising if his servants, now I think we're talking about men and women again, people, remember, seared in their conscience, teaching the doctrines of demons. It's not surprising if his servants, and they're pseudo-Christians, they act as Christians, but they disguise, masquerade, third time we've used this word, as servants of righteousness. Have you ever met someone, and I'll be honest, and the way they pray, the way they talk, the way they use Jesus in their language and refer to Scripture, you go, wow, these people are a lot more spiritual than I am. And I could learn some lessons. Have you ever met someone that way? They just ooze Christianity. It just comes out of their very pore. I'm reminded of this passage, though. What do Satan's servants do? They disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. They say the right things. They have all the right lingo down. They have the right tone of speech. And they'll do enough right things just to seduce people. We have to watch out, don't we? Don't be surprised. And it's shocking when you uncover one, but he says it's always happened and it always will. Lots of questions out of that, how it works out, but I, like I say, can't answer it. False apostles, deceitful workers, disguising three times, disguised, his servants will disguise. Let's look at the one in 2 Thessalonians 2. If we remain alive, what is the biggest event we could look forward to? If we remain alive. Christ coming again, right? Going home. Now, if we die, what's the biggest event we look forward to? The resurrection, all right? Can you imagine if you got word as though it was a letter or a message from the Apostle Paul himself that Jesus came and you missed out? You laugh. Would that be upsetting?
Yes.
Like, what? What do you mean we missed out? That's what people were doing here. Let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. We request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, right? Being lifted up into the sky with him, that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure. I think I have that word up there. Become unsettled or alarmed, well, say the least. Well, why would you be unsettled or alarmed? Don't be quickly shaken from your composure, or be disturbed either by a spirit, someone's claiming the spirit, God told me, or by a message, well, I got this message from Paul, or a letter, handwritten, as though it was from us. So they signed Paul's name on it. Isn't that devious? To write out in your own writing, the Lord's come and you missed him, sorry, love you always, Paul. That's what they were doing. He's saying, if you see that to the effect the day of the Lord has come, don't believe it. Can you imagine people doing that? People will go to all sorts of lows to try to control people and to be some type of spiritual leader, whether it's for financial gain or for notoriety or for power. I can't, there's several reasons. But people will do anything. And you can't trust them on face value. You always have to check them with what? The word. Because the truth will march on, but people will fall away. Now, he goes on to say a couple things. Verse 3. Let no one anyway deceive you. They're lying to you. That's what that word means, right? Can you imagine a person in the name of Christ lying to you? Well, they're conscious and sincere. They can do that. It won't happen until the apostasy comes first. Well, here it is again. Christ won't come until there's a falling away from the faith. Well, we've seen it happen, but he's warning us again about it. Well, warning the first century Christians. And the man of lies is to be revealed. In verse 4, this man is going to exalt himself above every so-called object of God or object of worship. And he's actually going to take a seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Now, and the church, because that's what the temple is, the church of Christ, Christ's church. And so he's going to take a seat in the church as though he is God on the earth. Is that a little presumptuous? Well, do we see that in religion at all? There is a man who's sitting in Rome now who sits in the so-called temple of God, but it's not, as though he is God on the earth, and they call him the Pope. Well, whether this is referring to him specifically or not, we see the same pattern. Notice verse 10 then. They're going to come with all deception of wickedness for those who perish. And here's why people are going to be deceived and fall away. Can you see it? Because what? They don't receive or have a love of the truth in order to be saved. I think I have that one up there coming up right here. Because I think this is so important. They don't have a love of the truth so as to be saved. What's going to protect you from the liar, the deceiver? A love of the truth. Where you buy the truth and you don't sell it. You you're more noble-minded than others, that when people say something, you search the scriptures daily to see if they're really true. And that's why in all our Bible classes, first rule of our class, don't believe anything I say. Why? You got to be a lover of the truth, not a lover of a person. You got to do your own due diligence and search out the scripture to find out whether these things are true or not. Because if you don't have that attitude, you've left the door open for Satan to bring someone along, and he will, to seduce you into apostasy. It happens over and over and over again. And it starts where? With or without the church. Where do these deceivers come from? From sin. And that's what's scary. And when people take steps away from the truth, it's interesting. Every group that does that, they think they're mainline or mainstream. You realize that? And if another group goes this way and they depart from the truth, they think they're mainstream and everyone over here is on the right and everyone over here is on the left. It's always that way. Because you're not going to think you've departed. You just think everybody else has left. And so you have to have this love of the truth, that I'll take a stand for it no matter what. Now, if you don't have it, really scary. What does he say in the verse? Verse 11, and for this reason, God will send, I'll talk about that in a second, a deluding influence so they might believe what is false, in order they may be judged because they did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. See, the opposite of love the truth is pleasure in wickedness. What does this mean, God sends a deluding influence? I would best understand like this. Did Job have all sorts of evils come upon him? We're talking about loss of family, loss of property, and it came through he had personal sickness. It came through storms and enemies. Who allowed that to happen? God, didn't he? If God did not give Satan permission, would any of that happen? Could it be said that God sent it? Yes. He allowed it to happen. So do you think it's actually going to be the one doing the evil work? No. But when a person says no to God, what are they opening themselves up to? Satan and all his influence. And God said, that's fine. I'm going to let him do it. I'm going to send him your way. Or allow that. He's removing his cloak of protection. And that's what we open ourselves up to when we don't have a love of the truth. So as we say, we're saying, just give me some liberal or some conservative thinking. It'll just make me feel better. And Satan will be there to fill the void. And pretty soon we're just swept away and don't even know it. So how do you know that? Look at the next one. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to be done. So again, we have to ask ourselves, do I have that kind of love of the truth? I think it's seen when how much time we put ourselves in the Word, how much time we spend our head in the Word, reading it, you know, talking about it, you know, running things by one another so we can check our thinking, praying about it. So God, reveal your will to me. That's the prayer in Colossians 1, verse 9. The love of the truth is seen in your actions. And just how much we invest ourselves in the Word. Now, if we don't have that, look what happens in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Paul's writing to Timothy again, and where was Timothy? Ephesus. What did he say was going to happen at Ephesus after Paul left? Savage wolves from the eldership. So no wonder he says this, verse 1. I solemnly charge you, Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who's going to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom. Is this going to be an important charge when he invokes all those things? Preach the word. Have the solution to apostasy. What is it? Preach the word. Don't preach politics. Don't preach social things. Don't preach anything of the world. Just preach the word. And he says, you preach it be ready in season and out of season. When it's popular, when it's not popular. When they want to hear it and when they don't want to hear it. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. Because sometimes you're not even going to want to. Patient, just what? Preach the word. Well, okay, Paul, I get it. Why do you want me to preach the word so, you know, passionately? Here it is, because the time's going to come. You know what it says next? And the time has come where people will not endure sound doctrine. What does the word endure mean? They won't bear up under it. Like, oh, there you go, preaching the word again. That means I got to do these things. I can't do this anymore. And I got to follow Christ. And people get tired that don't have a love, the truth of hearing the word. I have to go to worship. No, if you say you have to, you don't get it to start with, right? But yes, the Lord says, don't forsake the assembly. Man, I have to wrestle with my heart now. Because I want to, and I should want to. And so it's hard hearing the word again. Because it, what does it do when you keep hearing the word? It convicts you. So after a while, people don't want to be convicted anymore. So either they leave altogether. Do we see that? They leave. They just fall away totally. Or they'll fall away from the faith because they still want to be a Christian, at least in their mind. Well, what are they going to do? Well, here's what they're going to do. Because they can't endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled actually means itching. Yeah, itching ears where they need to have them. When you have an itchy ear or like an itchy back, what do you have to do? You kind of scratch it, right? And you can't relax until you get it scratched. Now, since they have ears that are tickled and need to be scratched, they accumulate. Does your Bible say accumulate? Heap up is the right word. It heap up. Are we just talking about a few teachers here? No, you're going to pile up a bunch of teachers, accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires or lusts. So what does this mean? I don't like what you say, preacher. And so I'm going to go find someone that'll tell me what I want to do. I'm going to go find a teacher and multiple teachers that'll tell me what I want to hear. Why multiple, you think? Why multiple? I'm sorry? There's power in numbers. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Maybe they'll address all your different needs. And then you're just the one preacher preaching truth. And I got all these guys that are saying something different than you, right? And it's to sadden the conscience because you know the truth, don't you? When you step aside and fall away, you know the truth. You got to have multiple people say, no, it's okay, Jack. You know, that guy's crazy. You can go ahead and do this. The more you have, the more your conscience will be, you know, eased. But you're still knowing your heart of hearts that you're wrong. Isn't that what they're doing? Now, when they find them, what will they do? Here it is. They end up turning away from the truth. Because when you can't handle sound teaching anymore, and you step to the right or the left to find a teacher to tell you what you want to hear, what have you turned away from always? The truth. And when you turn away from the truth, what's the only thing you're turning to? Lies. Lies. Because you're listening to liars. Happens over and over. Now, can you find anyone in America that'll teach anything you want to hear? It's amazing. You want to live with someone out of wedlock? There's people who say, yeah, that's fine. We'll just love you until you work it out yourself. You want to believe in same-sex marriage? Yeah, there's groups that teach that. Whatever it is you want to do, someone will say, in the name of Christ, you can do it. Right? That's Satan's work. And people want to be religious, but still be in charge of their own life. That's why it happened. But Timothy, here's the solution. You be sober. In other words, sound-minded. You endure hardship. This could be been that way. You do the work of evangelists. What's that work? Preach the word. Fulfill your ministry. All right. Let's put it all together and we'll close. Because here's a chart I want you to. Here's the prediction and the warning. We shouldn't be surprised when we see it today. But we have a solution. Acts chapter 20. speak perverse things with. Remember that? Solution? What did Paul say? I commend you to his word of grace, which is be able to. Then in 2 Corinthians 11, what do we learn there? Falling away. Satan disguised himself as an angel of light, so he shouldn't be surprised as if his servants do the same. So be aware. Don't be surprised. Because when people are shocked, they go, oh, maybe all this Christianity is a fraud. No, we've been warning you. It's going to happen. It doesn't mean we're all frauds. It's just there's a lot of believers out there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we see that people are going to teach doctrines of demons, forbidding marriage, eating certain foods. But he said, point these out. Then in 2 Timothy 4, we just look at that. Itching ears. They're going to find teachers. What's the solution, though? What is it?
Preach the word.
That's right. That's the only way to combat it. Because when you preach the truth, what chance does lies have? They don't. You cannot fight against the truth. It's impossible to defend a lie when you're in the face of the truth. So either they'll attack you or they'll leave, right? But preach the word. Then 2 Thessalonians, it's the apostasy, this man of lawless, displaying his God. There's this power of Satan for those who don't love the truth. Well, that's the solution. Love the truth. Now, it's a simple lesson. All I'm trying to see is don't be shocked when you see people departing the faith and still in the name of Christ teaching odd things. It's always happened, and it'll happen now. Let's just not be one of them, all right? If we follow the line here, commend ourselves to the Word, just be a lover of the truth, just get our head in the Word, and always pray God to keep us faithful. Be watchful of people that are teaching perverse things. And just love the truth. We'll be okay. We'll be okay. Because God is greater than any of our enemies. Isn't that right? And that's why we have this total conviction that someday he is coming again. And if I'm alive, we're going to go up to heaven with him. And if I'm not alive, don't worry. It'll probably be more exciting. You'll get to raise from the dead with a new body because you'll come with Christ, your spirits, and we'll all be united together in the sky and be with the Lord forever. That's the great hope we all have as Christians, isn't it? So just stay faithful to Christ and to his word. So I'm glad you could be with us. If you're here, we could help you anyway. Won't you come as we stand and sing?